Today's shir is Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Ches. We will begin on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. The Gemara in our previous shir had differentiated when is a sale considered a full-fledged sale, even though it has not been paid up in full, versus when is it not considered a sale. The Gemara said, if the person who made the sale was anxious for the money, so until he gets all of his money, the sale is not consummated. If the person was not that anxious for the money, then the halacha is different. Says Mar, who gavin dezav lechavrei? Somebody sold a donkey. That's the Rashi explains. There are those that suggest that the Gemara is speaking about somebody, the Ramban, that says that he sold wine. But we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi, somebody sold his donkey to someone else. And there was one zuz left that the buyer owed the seller. Come, and the seller was a person who was in need of the money. Yosef Rav Ashi Kamayim Bab. Rav Ashi was analyzing this question. Kai Gavnamai. In this case, Kani. Is it considered the buyer's because he paid up mostly? I like honey, or is it not considered yet the buyer's? Amleir matchel Ravashi, hach amavim megunim mishmei de Rava, zuza kazu zudami. If there's one zuz left over, even if there's just one zuz left over, it doesn't make a difference if it's only one zuz. Like honey, if it isn't paid up, it doesn't become the buyers. Amalei of Achabrei of Yosef Ravashi v'Amrinim Mishmei the Rava. Have we not learned in the name of Rava that if you're mostly paid up, Kani, it is considered a valid sale. Amalei to Targem Shmatcham. I could explain what Rava meant to say. But Moicha Sadeu Lenei Rasa. Somebody had a property that was very poor quality, and he wanted very much to sell the property. So even though this person was in need of the money, but he was also in need to sell the property. So as soon as he had somebody who paid him for the property, even though he had not paid him up in full, that was more than enough for him to make the sale final because he wanted to be rid of this property. Pshita, says the Gemara, another situation where you had an individual where somebody needed 100 zuz. Boilers wouldn't be mayor, and he had a small piece of property which he could sell, for 100 zuz. For Layashkach. But he could not find a customer for that property. So Zovin, but Messiah. So without having any other option, he sold a larger piece of property for which he got 200 zuz. The Ka'ai of a Nafik Azuzi. And this person, the seller, was anxious to get the payment. Like Kani, since he sold this property, only because he was in need of cash. Because, therefore, until he gets paid up, then there is no question, says the Gemara, the sale is not final. Ella, what would be the question? That says the Gemara is of no question. The question is, he wanted to sell a piece of property, a small piece of property, for 100 zuz. And he couldn't find a customer. If he would have worked harder, he might have found a customer. But he wasn't anxious, so he wasn't doing that. V'loy tarach. He did not work diligently to find a customer. V'zavim v'masayim. So he took a larger piece of property. Seeing that it wasn't going easy to sell the small property, he sold the larger piece of property for 200 zuz. V'kayav anafik amazuzi. And he's very anxious to get paid. Mai. What is the halacha? Do we say, k'may chazdachim reira asudami? The fact that he didn't look for a customer for the smaller piece of property. But instead of selling the smaller piece of property, he just went and sold the bigger piece of property, even though he doesn't really need 200 zuz. He only needs 100 zuz. We're seeing that obviously he must have sold this larger piece of property because it really wasn't that important to him. Because if this bigger piece of property were important to him, if this bigger piece of property was important to him, he would have worked harder on selling the smaller piece of property. And therefore, we see that he's obviously not that desperate. Eloy. Or maybe we could say, the fact that he didn't go out of his way to sell the smaller piece of property, it doesn't mean that he sold the bigger piece of property because he really doesn't want it. And therefore, it's a category of Moichah Sodom Bnei Ra'asah that we're learning when you sell. We learned a moment ago when Moichah Sodom Bnei Ra'asah, it's not considered that you need the money. Or we could say he just didn't want to bother working on the smaller property. But that doesn't mean he was just interested in getting rid of the bigger piece of property. So we don't know how to look at this, says the Gemara. Is it considered that he sold the Bnei Ra'asah? Or is it considered because he needs money? We learned in the Mishnah, Sochas Chamav Sakada, if somebody hired a delivery to bring something for a kala, for a wedding, or for a mace, or you hired workers to take the flax out of the water, and all these cases are situations of David Shavad, it's a irreparable loss, and all these cases, he could hire other workers or matan. Says the Gemara, what is the definition of matan? Says the Gemara, at kam soich aleim, how much could you spend to take other workers? Amar Rav Nachman at kei scharon. All the money that you pay to them, all the money that you owe to them, to the workers who backed out, even though it may be a very significant amount of the percent, maybe a significant amount of money, and they deserve a good portion of the money for what they've already done. The Gemara is learning, that's the way Rashi is learning, that all of that money that you have left over, you could use to hire new workers. But Rashi learns, and the Rosh elaborates on Rashi, he says that the money you've already given to the workers that backed out of the job, again, as long as it's money that they deserve for the amount of work that they did, you can't ask for it back. The Rabbeinu Tam has a different pshat. The Rabbeinu Tam says that what the Gemara means to say is the second group of workers that I hired have a right to get paid double of what the first workers were entitled to, because I'm so desperate for workers now. And not only are they entitled to double of what the first workers got, were supposed to get, but according to this pshat, even money that I had already given the first workers, if I need that money to be able to hire new workers, I could retrieve my money. Esvei asked the Gemara, Esvei Rav El Rav Nachman, so Rav asked Rav Nachman, the Braisa says, Abom v'chamishim zuz, says the Gemara, says the Gemara, Amalei ki tanya hi, that Braisa shabos chavil el yodai, that the question, the situation over there is that the owner, the employer, has their equipment of the first workers, and then the halacha is that you could pay them the value of those workers. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is that the employer was concerned that these workers will walk out on him. So what they did was, what he insisted was, that they should leave tools with him. And by leaving tools with him, that will serve as a mashkin, that a security if they walk out. And the halach is that he could use the value of those kalim to pay his new workers. So Tosfos asks, if that's pshat in the Gemara's pshita, that was the whole purpose that they left those tools there, that it should be a mashkin. So why does the Gemara have to tell us that he's entitled to use it? So Taisus answers that we may think that it's a mashkin, that it's a smachta. They never expected this should happen. And since they never expected that this should happen, it should be considered a situation that they could, that he can't use it. Teaches us the Gemara, no, it's not considered a smachta. Hasoiches chamor, says the Mishnah, somebody rents a donkey, lalicha bahar, and he said that it's going to go up a mountain. Instead of taking up a mountain, he took it through a valley. Or vice versa. He hired the donkey with the understanding. He rented the donkey with the understanding that it's going to go up a bicka in the valley. And at the end, he took it up the mountain. Even though the distance that they traveled is the same. And like the Ritva explains, why does the Mishnah pick the number Esamilin? Because typically, that's the amount that animals traveled on a day. And typically, they traveled in 10 mil, and that's the amount of person that they normally travels on a day when they walk along with the animal. Moreover, the Ritva points out, all these stipulations that we're learning in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is now going to discuss what is the halacha if the stipulations were violated. The halacha is that if there's going to be stipulations attached, it's the person who owns this animal obligation that if he has certain stipulations, he has to make the stipulation. And if he didn't make the stipulation, the person who rented it will not be held responsible. So again, says the Mishnah, both are the same distance. Just you could get to that destination either by going through a mountain or going through a bicker, the umesa, and then the animal died on his own. Chayiv, the halacha is that the renter will be chayiv because the owner could tell him, because you took the animal in a place that it couldn't have made it. The Rishonim debate if on top of paying for the animal, which we just learned, since he violated the terms of the contract, he's going to have to pay for the animal, does he also have to pay the rental fee? Or can he suggest that I'm paying the whole value of the animal, I shouldn't have to pay the rental fee on top of it? Hasachas Chamor says the Mishnah, if somebody rents an animal, lalicha bahar, to carry it, to take it through through a mountain, lalicha babika, and then he ended up taking it on a bika, imechlika, if the animal slipped potter, even though he didn't do what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to take it up the mountain and he took it through the valley, because the argument could easily be made that if I took it in the bicker, which is not as slippery as the har, the animal slipped. Certainly, if I would have taken it up the mountain, then it would have certainly not been able to make it. However, from Chokhmah, what happened was it was because of the heat, then he will be chayiv. Because the argument, the owner could say, the bicka, the valley, is much hotter than the mountain. And that's why it couldn't survive the heat. You would have taken it up the mountain where it's not as hot, it would have made it. On the other hand, if it was hired, it was rented, lalich b'bicka, to carry in the bicka, lalich b'har, and you took it up the mountain, in mechlif, if it slips, chayiv. Because the owner could say that the reason it didn't make it, it slipped, is because the mountain is much more slippery than the bicker. However, v'mhuchma, if it overheated, potter, because the tenant, the person who rented it, could say if it couldn't have withstood the heat of a har, which is not as hot as a bicker, it certainly couldn't have withstood the bicker. Im machmas hamala, but if it died because it went up the mountain. And when it went up the mountain, it was fine. But after it came to the top of the mountain, then it wasn't okay. So The halach is that he's chayiv because we assume that it died because of the exertion of going up the mountain. So Taisa says, how do we know for sure that that was, if it would have died going up the mountain, so it could be easily said that that's what killed it, that it didn't have the ability to go up such a steep mountain. But it didn't die at that point. So why, we're still assuming that that's what happened. So why don't we say that even if it died because of the heat, why are we so certain to say that it was the heat, to us it seems that the heat killed it. And we just learned that it was supposed to go on the bikkur, it went up the mountain, and it died because of heat. You won't be chayav because the mountain is not as hot as the bikkur. Maybe it wasn't the heat that killed it. Maybe it was the exertion that killed it. And Taisus, because of this, says that everything that we learn in our Mishnah has to be in a situation where we could definitively attribute to what was the reason for the death. And when we, but if it's a situation where it can't make that definitive evaluation, then you will be potter. Says the Mishnah further, Hasoiches chamar, somebody hires a donkey, vevrika, and it has some sort of a cataract that prevents it from being able to see well. Oshinasis angaria, it was confiscated by the government. If the government needed donkeys or animals, they would take the person's donkey and use it until they found another donkey and then return it. Oimeloi, harei shechala fanecha. The person who rented it could say to him that, the owner could say to him that it's your problem. Harei shechala fanecha. You took this animal. And as I saw the Rishonim all point out, as long as the animal is able to work, even though it's obviously not able to work as well, but as long as it's still able to work somewhat, you could say a racial chalafanecha. However, Mesa or Nishbara, if the animal dies, then the halacha is chayiv, the person who rented him the animal, it was Mesa Machs Malacha. The halacha is that Mesa Machm Salacha, the Shomer is potter, and not only is the Shomer potter, but the halacha is that you have to give him another animal. Says the Gemara. The Reish of the Mishnah says that if somebody rented a donkey to take it on the mountain and took it on the bikkur, and it died, chayiv. And the Mishnah did not go into all the details if it died because it slipped or it died because of the heat. So ask the Gemara, Mishnah Reisha, why in the first case of the Mishnah, the Loi Kamaflig, the Tana doesn't start determining why the animal died? Or Mishnah Sefer, the Kamaflig, and the Sefer, the Mishnah starts to make these distinctions. Answers the Gemara, Amri Debei Reb Yanai, Reisha She Meisim Machm Savir. The Reisha of the Mishnah is referring to a situation where the animal did not die because it slipped, nor did it die because of the heat. It died machmas aver, because of the type of climate that is where he took the animal. Damrinan, avir the hakatla, and we say that the climate, the type of air that they have up in the mountain killed it. Amrinan avir the bikakitla. And therefore, if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, you didn't keep the terms of the deal, you will be held responsible. And according to Rashi, that Rashi holds that as soon as the owner of the animal makes that claim, even though he cannot definitively say that I know that that's what happened, it's enough for the person who rented the animal to have to pay. And I assume that the pshat in Rashi is that because I violated the terms of the contract, because I violated the terms of the contract, that's enough that the owner can have any type of claim. However, as I said, that Taisus' opinion seems to be that the claim has to be a definitive claim. And if he can't make a definitive claim, then you can't make the person who rented it pay. Says the Gemara, another way of explaining the Mishnah, says the Gemara of Yosef Chanina Amar, Kigon Shema Samachmes Oftzuna. It died because of exertion. So if it went up the mountain, the owner could say that climbing up the mountain caused the exertion. And if it went through the bicker, you could say that it was the heat that killed it. And therefore, in both of those cases, he'll be held responsible. Rav Amar Kigon Shekish Nachash. It was bitten by a snake. And the more likely to have snakes in a place where he went, where he wasn't supposed to go. And since he had agreed not to go there, and if he went there and it got bitten by a snake, the owner could say to him, well, I told you not to take the animal there. And by you taking the animal there, exposing it to the snakes, you should be held responsible. Another way of explaining the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Rav Chiya bar Abba Omer Rabbi Yochanan Ha-Mani, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? The Tana of the Reisha is the opinion of Rameya. Rameya's opinion is that kol hamav al das balabayis, whoever violates the terms, nikra gazlan, he becomes a gazlan. And as we learned extensively in Masechta Baba Kama, when you are a gazlan, you become the owner of this animal, and you become obligated in anything that will happen to this animal. And therefore, this animal, by you violating the terms, you become responsible under all, you become fully responsible. Ask the Gemara, hi Rameyer, where do we find the opinion of Rameyer that if somebody who violates the terms becomes a gazlan, and by becoming a gazlan, he becomes completely responsible even for Einzim? So the Gemara suggests, it's Rameyer the Tzaba. We've quoted in our Shiurim. The Gemara we learned in Masechta Baba Kama Daf Kuf. The Gemara over there discusses, the Tanan, the Mishnah there discusses, Hanois and Semel Tzaba, if somebody gave wool to somebody to dye that wool, and the instructions were, L'tzvoyle Edoim, to dye the wool red, V'tzava Shachan, he did black, or vice versa, Shachan V'tzava Edoim, Rameya Amar, that Rameya's opinion is, that once the person violated the terms, he becomes a gazlan. The nice and light, and the halacha is that if somebody steals something, what he has to return is the object that he stole or the value of that object as it was when it was stolen. And if the value of this wool, what uncolored was, whatever it was, that's what he has to return. From Yehuda, have we learned, disagrees. And Yehuda says, if the value of the wool by being dyed all the wrong color is more than what was spent to color it, you only give back the value. But if the expense is greater than the improvement, the value of the improvement, then you give the lower man number, and you only give the value of the improvement. So says the Gemara, that just like over there, Rameya said, that since this person violated the terms of his employment, he becomes the full-fledged owner of that wool, and he becomes chayiv and einsim. Here too, suggests the Gemara, as soon as he violated the terms, he's going to be responsible. Answers the Gemara, Mamai, that Gemara cannot be compared to our Gemara. Because in that Gemara, he made a physical change to the wool. He dyed the wool. Dilma Shani Hassam, the Kanya Bashini Maisa. And we can't bring a raya from that case to our case. Says the Gemara, Ella HaRameya, which Rameya is it? Rameya the Megabas Purim. Rameya speaks about a collection that was made for Purim. The Tanya, the Mishnah teaches us, that if the Gabbai Tzedakah collected money from the people in the city to give them, that they should have money for the Sudas Purim, what should be done with that money? You're not saying Purim. It should be used for Purim money. And as the Rishonim point out, that even though in other Tzedakah situations, that if you gave money for one purpose, the Gaboyim under certain circumstances could use it for a different purpose. When it comes to Purim, the halacha is you have no right to use it for something else, up to the degree that it should only be used for Purim. And if you have so much money that you can't use it, you don't need it, Baruch Hashem, so the Ramban says it should be put away for next year Purim. Magbas Ha'ir, somebody that money was collected on Purim for Aniyei Ir, for the people of that city, Lois Sa'ir. So the money should be used specifically for Aniyim for that city, Vein Megdagdkin Bedover. And you don't say that they already have enough and that they don't need this. The money should be used specifically for that purpose. I did see another pshat. What it means is that when it comes to Purim, when it comes to tzedakah, normally it is the obligation of the gabbai tzedakah to make sure that the money is being used properly. On Purim, the halach is kol ha'poshe yad, whoever sticks out his hand for tzedakah, nice and light, we give him without starting to investigate if he's deserving. Avaloichem as agolim, but we take the money that we got for Purim. Avaloichem as agolim v'shachnu v'oichlein sam. We take and we buy animals for the Sudas Purim. The moiser that wasn't used up, yipel kashet tzedakah will be go to the tzedakah fund. Rav Melezer, Amar Rav Melezer's opinion is magnus Purim l'Purim. The Purim money should be used for Purim. V'ena rishoy l'kach mehem strictly for Sudas Purim. V'ena only rishoy l'kach mehem mitzula sandloi. Somebody collected money for Purim and gave it to a poor person for Purim. The halacha is he can't even use it to buy a shoelace. He could only use it for the purpose that it was given for Purim Suda. Elam ken hisna, unless the oni made a tanai b'mamad en she'ir, when he received the money, he stipulated that he should be allowed to use it for different purposes. Divrei Rav Yaakov Shem Shem Rameyer, that's Rameyer's version. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Mekel, that you can switch it for other purposes. Because his opinion is that when the people gave the tzedakah, they're not that particular that it shouldn't be used for another purpose. But what do we see from here? That when tzedakah is given for Purim, it can't be used for any other purpose unless it was said otherwise. So what do we see from here? The Ramei's opinion is that you can never change what was agreed upon. Says the Gemara, that is not a raya. So that's the basis for Ramei that you can't change. Says the Gemara, Dilma Hasum Nami. There it's different. That data the Purim Yavale, when people give money to Purim for Purim collection, they want specifically that the money should be given for that purpose. Adata de mida achrina lo yavalei, they don't want it to be used for other purposes. But that doesn't necessarily mean that in every other transaction, they're so strict about the stipulation. So Rashi says that the halacha is that emedadik and bedover. Rashi says, we learned the Ramban pshat that kol ha'poshe yad noisenloi. Rashi seems to be pshat that when it comes that we are giving for Sudas Purim, we should be as generous as possible and not say, well, we're using tzedakah money and we're going to be a little more limited in what we're going to buy. We should be as generous as possible. The Shas Chuvas Chavis Yor discusses Simon Reish Lamed Beis, discusses a situation that there was a Talmud Chacham who a wealthy person sent him wine for Kiddush for Kiddush, and he wants to use that wine for a different purpose. He wants to buy his own wine for Kiddush that he's going to make Friday night and use that wine that this person sent him for other purposes. May he do so. So he says that the Rif and the Rash actually don't follow the opinion of Rameya. Rameya in Al Gemara has said that you can't change the terms on which you received something. So therefore, since we don't pass like Rameya, it may be mutter. On the other hand, it's interesting to point out that even though we don't pass like we're mayor, the Torah in Aruch Chaim Siman Tov Reish Tzadik Dalid does pass in like Remeyer by Purim. And he holds that you can't switch Purim money for anything else. So how do we look at this? May you change it or not? He says that we have that there are different types of donations. When it comes to Purim, the halacha is people want money that they give for Purim needs to be used specifically for Purim. So even if we normally don't pass in like Remeyer, there we could be confident that that's what the person who gave it meant, and therefore may not be used for another purpose. Under other situations, it's not so obvious that he dafka wants his money to be used only for that purpose. He quotes a Sefer Chassidim that if somebody sends food to somebody to have food for Shabbos, that person who receives the food should not put away the food for during the week. Because it's clear that the person who gave that food wanted that the person who received the food should have food for Shabbos. Up to the point, he suggests, that if somebody sent wine to somebody, that he should have wine for Kiddush. He doesn't want that wine should be used for any purpose, not only for purpose of during the week. He doesn't even want it to be used for food on Shabbos. He wants it specifically to be used for Kiddush. And when it's clear that was the purpose of that was the intention of the person who gave the donation, then the halacha is you may not change it. And the Gilyonei HaShas quotes Yerushalmi in Masechet Nozer, Perek Hei Halacha Aleph, discusses that if somebody donated money for a carbon mincha that should be brought on Shabbos, obviously carbon mincha that may be brought on Shabbos, that money cannot be used to bring a carbon mincha for a weekday. And he says a very interesting approach. He has a very interesting approach to it. He says that just like if Chas V'Sholem, somebody does an Aveira on Shabbos, it's much more severe than if somebody does an Aveira during the week. He says vice versa is the same. If somebody does a mitzvah on Shabbos, it's much more significant than if he does a mitzvah during the week. So when this person donated a carbon mincha, and he wanted that carbon mincha should be brought on Shabbos, because he correctly assumes that a mitzvah, a carbon that's brought on Shabbos, is more significant than a mitzvah that's brought during the week. And therefore, the halacha is, since it's a mitzvah that is more significant, you can't change it to another purpose. I saw another shaila that the Chashuki Chemed discusses, that there was a Talmud Chacham who was given money because he became a chassan, and he doesn't have the means to get married. So somebody gave a nice donation to him. He should have the ability to get married. But this Talmud Chacham has a sister. And his sister is also single. And it's harder for her to get married than for him to get married. And he'd like to transfer the money that he received for his wedding to give it for his sister. And the question is, can he do so or not? And again, the discussion we just had is very relevant. On one hand, we could say that the person who donated the money wants to benefit specifically a Talmud Chacham. Also, we could suggest that a man has a chiyuv d'oraisa to get married. A woman does not have a chiyuv d'oraisa to get married. And therefore, a strong argument can be made that the person who donated this money only wants the money to be used for the Talmud Chacham's getting married, not for his sister. On the other hand, we do have precedent in Shas that Chazal were more concerned about a woman not needing to collect tzedakah, and that we know it's harder for a woman to get married than for a man to get married. We know that the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Bitcha Begeres, if your daughter is getting older, Shachrer Avdecha, free your slave Atenlo, in order she should be able to get married. So there's a greater need to marry off a sister. And the Marajdam, a woman, and the Marajdam adds one more point into this discussion. The Rajbam's point that he makes in this discussion is that a brother is obligated to help marry off a sister. So when you're giving money to the brother and he's using that money for the sister, he's really using it for his own obligation, because he as a brother has to see that he should be marrying off his sister. And therefore, in all these cases, so now we need what it really perhaps boils down to, it certainly boils down to when are you allowed to be Mishana at Staka? And we need also to know what was the intention of the person to marry, what was the intention of the person who donated it. So the I saw it's a big machlokes of Paiskin. The opinion of the Chushuki Chemed seems to be that he would be allowed to switch it. The Shvash Yaakov has such a shaila, and the Shvash Yaakov is not so sure that you're allowed to sell it. One more point that we can learn from this Gemara is that the Gemara speaks about agolim, about calf meat, veal, that was used for the Sudas Purim. So from here, it's quite clear that what should be used for Sudas Purim is the what should be eaten at the Sudas Purim is meat, and that's part of the Sudas Purim, up to the degree that the halacha is that if a woman is going to the mikveh that night, she's not supposed to eat meat until she went to the mikveh. And there are paiskim that suggest that if a woman is supposed to go to the mikveh the night after Purim, so she shouldn't be eating meat that evening. But for Sudas Mitzvah, we're more lenient, and it may be that she could even eat meat at the Sudas Purim. Of course, she has to make sure to clean her teeth properly, but she may be allowed to eat meat because part of the mitzvah of the Sudas Purim is eating meat. But we're still looking for the precedent where Rameya says that you're not allowed to violate what you were told, and if you did, you're Yodei Al Tachtoina, El Ha Rameya. The Tanim Shimon Allah Zoyim Mishir Rameya. Hanois and Dinah La'ani, if somebody gives a dinner to a poor person, likach lay chaluk, to buy a coat, layikach by talis. Or he gave some talis, layikach by chaluk. Neshemaver adata shabalabais. Because you're violating what you were told. So we clearly see the Rameya's opinion is you can never violate the terms. It says the Gemara, Dilmashani hasam dasal mechshadei. If the Ani will not do what he was told, people are going to say, Damri Inchi, people are going to say, regarding this person who made the donation, Ame Plani Zavne Le Labush Leplani Ani. This person said he's going to buy a certain type of garment on behalf of this Ani. Veloy Zavnle, and he didn't do so. Inami Zvinle Glima, Veloy Zavnle. He said, I'm going to buy a certain type of garment, and he didn't do. So the reason here now the Gemara is saying is that it's because we're worried about the Maris Ayin of what happened. Of course, Tosfos asked the question, well, we just finished learning that Magvus Purim LaPurim, that if money was given for Purim, it can't be used for Nefer purpose. So why can't we say the same here? If it was given for one type of garment, it can't be used for another type of garment. To which Tosfos responds, as we said earlier, Purim is unique, and therefore we can't bring a raya from Purim to anywhere else. Says the Gemara, if the concern why you can't switch is because what people will say, so then that's what the Gemara should have said, the Brisa should have said, Imkein Lisni, Rameich Shad. Says the Gemara, my, why did the Brisa say a different explanation? Nei Shemav Al Data Shebal Abayis. Why was that the reason given? Shema Mino, that the reason is the Shanihu, because he changed from the instruction that he was given, the Kol HaMavar Al Dasha Balabayis, and whenever you change the instruction you were given, then you're considered a gazlan. So now we have a basis for Ramey's opinion that you can never change what you were told. We learned in the Mishnah, Hasoiches Chamor, if somebody rented to somebody else a donkey, Vavrika, and he got this type of cataract that he can't see so well, the owner of the donkey could say, Harei Shalchol Fanecha. Asking my Mai Vavrika, Hochit Targumima Norisa, it has some sort of a disease that it has like a cover over its eyes, and therefore it can't see well. Ravama of Zakas, that it has some sort of a worm in his in the legs that prevent it from walking. Hasuz the Gemara says the Gemara, who the Amalhu? There was somebody who said, Avzakas from Milsa the Malka, I saw that there's decay in the king's linen garments. Amle b'mai, he said, how did you see that? But where did you see it? Betle kesef, was it in the white linen clothing that looked like silver, or betle dahav, or colored linen, or wool clothing that looked like gold? Ikadamri betle kesef amar. Some say that he said that it was in the linen clothing. The katlu, and he was killed, because that what he said is that it can't be true, because linen clothing don't get ruined that way. Vikada Amri B'dalaitav Amr, that he said it was in the wool clothing, and this is common to happen in wool clothing, and since it's common to happen in wool clothing, he can't be held responsible. Al Gemara is now, the Mishnah in Al Gemara began a discussion, if you rented something on certain understanding and it wasn't followed, when what are the rights one has to the other? And I saw that there is a hotel, obviously a Shomer Shabbos hotel, that has Shabbos clock. The Chashuki Chema discusses the Shaila, that has Shabbos clocks in the rooms. And because it has Shabbos clocks in the room, you could tell the hotel manager, before Shabbos, I would like the light to go off at a certain hour. And the light went, and the lights will go off. And it didn't happen, and the lights didn't go off, and the guests in that room weren't able to sleep. What is the halacha? Can the guests claim a refund or a discount because they didn't get what they were expecting? So the Chashuki Chemet says that if there was a malfunction in the Shabbos clock, then the hotel management could say, Harei Shalchol Fanecha. If, on the other hand, the hotel management did not do what they were supposed to do, they were told to set up the Shabbos clock for a certain hour and they didn't, then the halacha is that they will be held responsible. What will be the halacha if the hotel management, the manager of the hotel, doesn't do this himself? He has workers, and the worker didn't do what he was told. So on one hand, the hotel management said, we did what we were supposed to do. We gave instruction. We gave the proper instruction. On the other hand, the management is responsible for its workers. And being responsible for your workers includes making sure that your workers are going to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. And if they're supposed to be setting up the Shabbos clock, they will set up the Shabbos clock. And the Chashuki Chemed, therefore, is not clear what is the halacha. Is he entitled to get back his money or to get a discount for the Shabbos clock, not having been set up as per requested and instructed?